24-hour news, weather, and traffic station, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Depend on it.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to the brand new year. It's the first Sunday, 2016. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Great to be back. Last week we were off. This week, we're back normal schedule, 9 to 11 here every Sunday morning. That's me, Wes Moss, here to take your phone calls and your questions and deal with the uncomfortable world that we live in. So 2015, what an uncomfortable year. We're going to talk about why it was so uncomfortable and really what we have to learn from that or take away from a very challenging 2015 that was difficult on all of our psyche. Violently flat is the word that I've been using over the past month, and that's certainly how we ended this last week or the last week in the market, where we're up and down and all over the place, only to finish lower on nearly every index you punch into a chart. You're going to find some sort of roller coaster year with a big drop in the fall where we had a full 10 to 15% correction, depending on what type of asset class you were looking at: large, mid, small cap stocks, U.S. international emerging markets, high yield bonds, energy related areas, you name it. There was a huge correction in the fall, big bounce back, and then we trickled down towards the end of the year. So we ended 2015 in this violently flat fashion, and it made for a really uncomfortable year. So I want to go through that. One of my favorite market studies, and in fear of being repetitive, I thought to myself, my goodness, I've probably talked about this so many times on the radio. And that's the study about just missing just a few days over the course of 10 and 20 years. What happens if you just step out of the market? So you attempt this sort of market timing and you miss just 10 really good days out of 20 years. What does it do to your return? And I thought to myself, I can't remember those numbers exactly. So if I couldn't remember those numbers, I bet you don't remember those numbers. So it's time to refresh our historical perspective on not trying to time the market too much and then missing out on return. So I want to go over that. And 2015 is the kind of year that'll force you or tempt you or lead you into doing so, meaning you try to hop in and out and in and out, and you end up missing really good days in the market. And we have to be there and participate when the gains come. That's part of the patience side of being a really good investor. Of course, because it's 2016, it's a brand new year, we don't need to dwell too much on what happened last year. We want to focus on what's also going to happen in 2016. So what are the themes that are going to dominate this coming year? What are the areas that, like oil and energy last year, what are the themes and what's going to happen and what should you be doing as an investor over the next 12 months? That's really, that again is another big part of what we'll talk about today. So because we are back live, I want to, of course, go to the phones, and I want to talk about your call, really talk about your questions. And I don't know if you're worried about oil and recessions. Let's talk about that. If you're worried about earnings for next year, let's talk about that. Most likely you're more worried about your own personal situation. Really, that's what matters. Have you come to a fork in the road or some sort of crossroads or some sort of financial question that you really want to get 2016 off on the right foot and you want to get a second opinion? That's why we're here on Sunday morning. So that's the cool part about Money Matters. It's the fun part. That's why I come in here every Sunday morning, going on now almost 7 years here, me doing Money Matters. And of course, my predecessor, Mike Cavanaugh, many, many years before that. So Money Matters still here Sunday mornings, 9 to 11. And we still, the best part about the show, in my opinion, still is talking with you and helping you figure out a direction and maybe just get a second opinion. The other thought about questions when it comes to financial talk shows like this, is that if you have a question or something that you and your wife have been talking about, or you and your husband, you've been talking about, I guarantee, one of the very few things I can guarantee you here on the show is that I guarantee you there are 1,000 or 2,000 other people that are worried about something really, really similar. So if you have a question that's popped up I know for a fact that there are hundreds or thousands of other people that are kind of plagued or challenged by the same question. And I likely have heard those questions talking with people here on the radio, talking with our clients in real life here at my firm, the Capital Investment Advisors. We're here in Sandy Springs. So I hear a lot of this. I've been doing this for a very long time now, about 18 years as an advisor and certified financial planner. And I hear a lot of questions that really run almost in these themes. So it's not the same questions every month, every year for the last almost 20 years. It is a thematic questioning that says, hey, gosh, now the government's confused me about Social Security. I get a lot of questions about Social Security. We get towards year end. What are those year end things that we forgot from last year? Can I sell for tax loss purposes? If I sell something, does that mean I have a gain, or is it only if I pull money out of my IRA? What are it has to do with the time of year and the climate we're in. Those questions will pop up, and we're here to help you navigate that. So call me here in the studio this first Sunday of 2016. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. The venerable James Lewis, CFP, here with us to answer your phone calls and questions. Patch them through to me. Maybe he'll even answer the question if I can't get to you. So we're a team here this morning, and we're happy to help. The number, 404-872-0750. Also, 1-800 WSB Talk, of course, right here on WSB Radio. By the way, if you do Twitter, and there are a fair amount of people listening to the show that do Twitter, my Twitter handle is WesMoss365, as in 365 days a year, at WesMoss365 on Twitter. You can also tweet questions, and I'll check Twitter for that as well. So let's talk about what we need to worry about. Well, let's talk about, first of all, really, what did we learn in 2015? Why was it so darn uncomfortable? And then that leads us to making sure we don't make the mistakes that this is the kind of year it leads to, the kind of market timing mistakes that really mess up our returns long-term as investors. So number one, let's talk about how some of these areas did. So again, a violently flat is how I would categorize last year, 2015. Violently flat to mostly down 2015. In fact, flat's actually probably a little generous. Nearly all categories were net negative in some fashion. And this is the first year, by the way, this is the first year that the Dow dropped since the great financial crisis in 2008. So it's been a while since we've had a decidedly negative year for stocks. And we've got to go back and remember and take note of a couple of things. So oil ended, by the way, just this week down 3%, down 31% for the year. Remember, though, down 65% from its high a year and a half ago. The Dow's best performer, by the way, was Nike, but Walmart lost 29%. The Dow for 2015 was down 2.25%. S&P 500, from a price perspective, down almost 1%, call it 0.75% for 2015. So the worst sector, as you can imagine, because of oil, was energy. Energy dropped 24% as a sector. That's all the big name energy companies and middle-sized energy companies that you can think of as a group, down 24%. Certainly many were way worse than that. The NASDAQ actually was net positive. So the NASDAQ, of course, remember, is very technology heavy and biotech heavy. And those are two sectors that actually held up pretty well. For the year, tech was actually up 4%. Biotech, if you look at IBB, was up about 10%. So the NASDAQ for the year up about 5.7% on the year. Most of that is because tech and biotech, again, extreme volatility within these sectors, but still net positive for the year. Now, the S&P 500 was, again, let's call it close to flat, but that's a little misleading because the average stock in the S&P 500 was actually down for 2015. So if you take the average company, it was down about 4% for 2015. Just a very select few companies, mostly tech, had this disproportionate impact to the positive for the entire market of 500 companies. So if you take out, without Facebook, and this is that, the acronym, this is not one of my favorite acronyms, the FANG stocks, Facebook, Alphabet, which is technically Google, or called also Amazon. So really Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google. Those four stocks had a tremendous, all had tremendous years, by the way. So that those four horsemen up a whole lot. And those, because they're large companies within the S&P 500, and again, of course, the NASDAQ, they pulled the whole market itself up kind of disproportionately. So if you didn't own those four, if you get rid of those four stocks and another four large cap companies that did well last year out of 500, so you basically take eight stocks out of all 500, and the entire S&P as an average would have been net negative 4% for 2015. So the fact that we were only down one and close to flat if you count the dividend is a little bit misleading unless you had a big position in one of those FANG stocks that did very, very well. Facebook was up 33% for the year. Google was up 45% for the year. And Amazon and Netflix were up over 100% on the year. But again, take away a few high flyers and the average stock just didn't have a good year at all. And that's why 2015, that's a big, big reason why 2015 felt so challenging. How about some of these other areas of the world? So let's say you're a good asset allocator. You've done all the things you're supposed to do. You're diversified. You have asset allocation, meaning you own large and mid and small companies and international. Here are some of the other areas. International, the EAFE, Europe, Asia, and the Far East, or Europe, Australia, and the Far East, as an average down 3%. The Euro Stock 50, and I'm looking at different ETFs that'll cover these areas. So FEZ, F-E-Z, really covers the Euro Stock 50. Call that the Dow of Europe, down 7% on the year. VWO, which is Vanguard's Emerging Market Index, down 17% on the year. FXI, which covers China's largest companies, down 15% on the year. If you look at some of these countries like Brazil, part of the emerging market complex, Brazil down 41% on the year. Not to mention mid and small companies. So mid was down 4% for the year. Small caps down 3% on the year. Financials down 4. Industrials down 6. Utilities down 8. Energy down 24. Telecom down 2. So there are a lot of areas that you could have hopped to or allocated to that still didn't save you in a year where there was just a huge wet blanket across nearly all sectors, barring a couple high-flying tech stocks that did disproportionately well. All right, we've got more of this straight ahead. Lots to learn from in 2015. And of course, where do we head in 2016? You're listening to Money Matters. The number in the studio, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Well, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. It's 2016, and the ghost of Christmas future just walked in. It's a little late, Dave Baker, by the way. Christmas is over, man.
Yeah, it is over, but the Home Thinking Show carries on today at noon, so I thought I'd come in early just in case you needed help.
Well,
You have to read a sponsored weather here? Don't you make any money for the station?
You know, I do a little bit, but what I've learned is I've confused people. People ask me all the time, where do you really work, Wes? Do you work at Wella? Do you work over at Brand Bank? Do you just work for the station?
I'm pretty sure you don't work here.
Well, tell people that.
He doesn't work here.
There you go. I'm only here on the weekends.
If you want to see him, the best place to see him is in the underpass as you're heading towards 400 up the off the connector there.
I've got a wonderful little cozy spot down there.
Yeah.
So, Dave, tell us just as a reminder, because the fall gets messed up with our schedule. Not messed up, but it's there's Georgia football. Tell everybody when your show is. And
normally, without Georgia football, 9 to noon on Saturdays. I get bumped to Sunday when Georgia football plays during my time on Saturday.
Oh, and that's why just today you're on it.
One time only. One time till next football season.
And then starting next Saturday, you're back.
9 to noon, yes.
What's the most exciting thing coming up with in the Home Fix-It world for you in 2016?
Other than my website, thehomefixitpage.com, the newly remodeled Dave Baker home website.
That's pretty exciting.
Thehomefixitpage.com.
Is that the URL is thehomefixitpage.com?
Thehomefixitpage.com.
So that's exciting.
It is exciting. Everything you need to know, how to do it, how what not to do and who to hire right there on that site.
But how much stuff do you write for that site, or do you have like a whole team of yellow minions that are doing that for you?
Right now I'm the yellow minion.
You are, okay.
So I think Teddy Roosevelt said that once way back in the day. Probably one of the most exciting things is because of the weather. You know, home sales and home repairs driven by weather, believe it or not. And since we've had roughly 19 feet of rain in the last 8 days.
Roughly.
It's going to be water remediation, mold remediation, water in the basement. I mean, that's what's going to drive roofing, keeping the outside out. That's probably the most important thing in home repair, home remodeling.
Coming up in 2016. And on an economic note, we're going to continue to see one of the trends we saw in 2015 is the household formation continues to tick up. So there's a higher and higher percentage of kids basically getting fed up with their parents and their in-laws and trying to go get their own house, whether it's an apartment or a home. And that's really that's a tailwind, a continued tailwind for probably one of the brightest parts of our economy, which is the housing market.
I know you're getting ready to get out, but I would assume, because I have a question about that too, as the boomers' kids get older, it's renting versus buying. And I have a son who's caught in the renting versus buying quandary right now.
Well, give him some money for a down payment. Help him out. Let him buy.
All right.
You've been listening to Money Matters. Straight ahead.
Let me get out of the way, because I'm sure you got your one phone call you have to get to here.
Well, we do have a few.
It's your mom. She says she's listening. You sound good this morning.
All right. You're listening to Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Technically, they can't use the word wholesale, but they're the next best thing. Neil Bortz for the Solomon Brothers, and as Atlanta's only diamond cutter, they've eliminated the middleman, so you get more diamond for your money. Get a 2-carat diamond solitaire for only $89.95 or a 3-carat for $15,495. Visit Solomon Brothers today, 17th Floor Tower Place in Buckhead, to see their diamond cutter in action. Right now, 12 months interest-free financing. Solomon Brothers. Fine jewelry online at solomonbrothers.com.
After 28 years in the home fix-it business, I've seen firsthand the hidden damage slow drains can cause. If you're standing in a puddle when you shower or waiting forever on a slow sink, get them cleared by an expert plumber at Mr. Plumber. Home Fix-It Show Guy Dave Baker here. You'll always save 10% when you schedule service online or call Mr. Plumber, 770-777-1111. Call Mr. Plumber, night or day.
It's Scott Slade, and we Atlanta Journal-Constitution subscribers have this treasure trove of digital extras just waiting on us at myajc.com, like the collection of 2015 must-reads, the most talked-about stories of 2015. If you missed the in-depth investigations that make a difference in our community or the inspiring personal journeys, now they're all in one place. Explore now on myajc.com. I urge you to check out these amazing stories and extraordinary storytelling. Visit myajc.com/2015must-reads.
Why do we call it? Triple Team. WSB Triple Team Traffic. Because we're in the air.
We'll stay up and above.
Watching with cameras everywhere.
I'm seeing it on the WSB Jam Cam.
And on the roads.
Crash on 75 northbound.
Triple Team Traffic. Is on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Depend on it. This is Atlanta's 24-hour news, weather, and traffic. News 95.5 and AM 750. WSB, Atlanta's news, starts now.
It's 9:30. I'm Mary Ellen Hopkins, live in the WSB 24-hour news center. Our top stories this half hour: the Georgia Bulldogs finished the season with their 10th victory of the year. For the seniors, it was 40 wins in 4 years. Senior linebacker Jordan Jenkins soaking it all in.
Man, it feels good, man. 40 wins by that elite win club. Glad to get it done. We slipped up a little bit, but we proved that we're a better team. We finished on top.
The Dogs' new head coach, Kirby Smart, was in the stands to see them play. He's still working two jobs. Smart will coach Alabama in the title game, then join UGA full-time. The Atlanta Falcons wrap up their season today. They'll take on the Saints at the Georgia Dome. Kickoff is 1 o'clock. An Atlanta teen is recovering after she was shot by a man who was trying to steal her hoverboard. The gunman followed the girl and her brother home, then fired a shot into their house. Police are still searching for the gunman. President Obama heads back to Washington and back to work after his family vacation in Hawaii. Mr. Obama wants to use executive action to tighten gun control laws that could lead to a legal challenge. And the execution of a revered Shiite cleric in Saudi Arabia has drawn a warning from Iran's supreme leader. The Ayatollah says Saudi Arabia will face divine revenge. Protesters in Iran, angered by the execution, broke into the Saudi embassy early today. WSB News Time, 9:31. This news is brought to you by Hitch House. We'll check traffic and weather next.
Atlanta's Morning News with Scott Slade. Breaking news, dependable weather, and Triple Team Airborne Traffic. Beginning at 4:30 on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Whatever woman Williams wants, woman Williams gets. O'Neill here for the Hitch House. And when your wife tells you to get a Yakima Hitch-mounted bike rack installed so you and the family can spend some more quality time together, head for the Hitch House in Chamblee. Custom trailer hitches and Yakima bike racks in stock, installed in an hour while you wait. Details and maps online at hitchhousega.com. I got Hitch at the Hitch House. You should too.
Season's greetings. Hi, this is Wayne Levitsky. From our entire staff at Atlanta Toyota to yours, have a very happy holidays and a safe, prosperous, and happy new year.
This is Mike Geller, D. Geller & Son, and this coming spring, we're moving our Smyrna location to Acres Mill. That means D. Geller & Son is having a moving sale, and it starts now. All Silver Tag merchandise in all three of our stores has been marked down between 10 and 65% off. Bulova and Movado watches are all 40% off. Select diamond studs are up to 50% off. Loose diamond prices have been cut. Check us out in Sandy Springs, Smyrna, or Kennesaw, and online at dgeller.com.
If you ever miss the latest WSB news or traffic report on the radio, hear it from the top on your iPhone or Droid with the WSB radio app.
Press listen on demand on the app main menu and depend on it.
WSB News Time, 9:34. Now live team coverage of traffic and weather. Floyd Hillman is in the WSB 24-hour traffic center.
APD is searching for those couple of crashes on the downtown connector. The first one, 7585 northbound near Peachtree Pine, just north of Freedom Parkway. We're not seeing any major delays over in that area, so it should be over to the side, but watch out for a little bit of slowdown getting through there. The second one is southbound on 7585 near I-20. This is possibly reported on the ramp to I-20 eastbound, causing some minor delays getting over to I-20, so watch out for those delays. I'm Floyd Hillman, WSB.
I'm Channel Traction News meteorologist Brad Nitz. With Atlanta's most accurate and dependable weather forecast, look for mostly sunny skies. We head through the afternoon, just a few clouds, and temperatures top out at 52 degrees. Then overnight and into Monday morning, mostly clear and cold, 34 in the city, outside the perimeter down near freezing, and then with the sunshine, high only in the upper 40s, topping out at 49. A little colder on Tuesday, mostly sunny, low 28, high 44.
Right now it is 37 degrees on Peachtree Street. With news on the hour, the half and when it breaks, I'm Mary Ellen Hopkins on Atlanta's exclusive 24-hour news, weather, and traffic station, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Depend on it.
Hi, this is Scott Slade from Atlanta's Morning News and WSB. Our 24-hour news center delivers updates four times an hour all weekend. Depend on it. We'll be back Monday morning, 4:30 to 9 for breaking news and traffic and weather every 6 minutes. News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Now, here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Just had a surprise visit from Dave Baker, host of the Home Fix-It Show. One of my favorite radio hosts, not just on WSB, but really everywhere for the planet. I love Dave Baker. And he really has the coolest new website. I've got to update my website. So there's a video in the background of Dave Baker doing all these home fix-it-y type things, blowing leaves, changing filters, painting, power washing. And he does have a page. It's the Home Fix It page. TheHomeFixItPage.com by Dave Baker. All right, that's enough promotion for Dave Baker. Let's get back to what I do for a living. The investment world, financial planning, and trying to figure out what's happening in the world and help you do the same throughout the week and throughout the year. And that is our mission in 2016, is to make sure that you are in the right spot. You don't have to have some magic elixir to be a good investor over time. You just have to make sure you're not making huge fundamental mistakes. And just because your portfolio this year was down 1 or 2 or 3 or 4% because you had a year that's frustrating for nearly every asset class you could have chosen in retrospect, it doesn't mean it was a failure of a year. There are lots of years that don't do well. And I went back and did some math here. Let me just get to that, since that's what we ended up talking about. There are lots of bad years over time. It doesn't mean you just should quit. So I want to remind you just how normal and just how to be expected flat years are and down years are. So dead giveaway. But what do the following years have in common? 1981, 1990, the year 2000, 01, 02, 08, 2011, and 2015 all have in common. You know the answer to that. They were all bad to awful years for the S&P 500, this year included. Not a good year. That's 8 full years. 8 years. 8 years is a very long time. 8 years ago, I didn't have any kids, and I almost have 4 now. That's how much can happen in 8 years. 1980 to 2015, 45 years. There are 8 negative, flat or negative years during that period of time. That's 20% of the time, but long, arduous periods where the market just doesn't do anything. And we've got to remember that. We've got to be prepared for that. And we can't be thrown off our game plan just because we have a year or two or three that just don't do well. That is the nature of the beast. Let's look at our long-term averages. I'll remind you of over a long period of time, markets, there's no denying that you want to be fully invested. 1928 to the end of last year, about 11.5%. That's the average rate of return over that entire period of time. That's a gigantic rate of return to compound year over year. 1965 until the end of 14, 11.25%. Now, the last few decades haven't been quite as good, so it's pulled down the long-term average a little bit, but 05 to 2014, 9.25% on average per year. So we've got it. So our longer-term averages, there's no denying that markets do well. It's just in the interim, it's difficult to stay the course in order to realize some of those gains. And now I go back to this study that I talked about at the beginning of the show about how critical just a few days in any given year really are. Now, and here's the quote I'll have you remember this by. If Dr. Seuss, and I read a lot of Dr. Seuss books in my spare time, if Dr. Seuss were to be a stock market technician, let's just say, he wasn't a doctor of poetry, but a doctor of the markets, he would have said, miss just a few days there and here, and your returns will disappear. Here's what I mean by that. And let's look at some data. Good days, so the best days of the year. Remember those days you feel really good about your portfolio? The Dow was up 384 points. Wow, let's check my account. That was a good day. Well, we have those years, but they're very few and far between. Good days as an investor are really concentrated, just a few days per year. And if you miss those just very few days, it has a dramatically negative impact on how you do over time. If you go back, and here this is the statistically, here's what happens if you miss those days. So let's go back 1995 to 2014. So 20 years, how many trading days is that? It's 5,036 trading days. Total annualized rate of return during that period of time, if you just left money invested the entire time, 9.8%, 100,000 turned into 650,000. If you missed only 5 of those days, 5 days out of over 5,000, 5 of the best days, your 9.8% rate of return drops to 7.5. It's a big drop for only 5 days. So now 100 only turns into 430,000. You miss 10 days, your 9 drops all the way down to 6. You miss 20 days, just 20 days out of 5,036, the best 20 days, your 9.8% rate of return drops all the way down to 3.5%. That's dramatic. That's dramatic. And if you miss the best 40 days out of that 5,036 trading days, so you miss 40 out of 5,000, you actually are net negative on average per year. So it is critical that you're there when the market finally rebounds or finally gets over a plateau or finally gets over an old high and makes new ground. But it's very difficult to have the patience to do so. There's another study by, and we'll go to the phones. Phone number here, 404-872. I know we got to get to phones. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. James Lewis is saying, hey, Wes, you might as well take some phone calls. There's a University of Michigan professor, and I'm not going to pronounce this right, Najit Senyon, did a study from 1963 to 1993, 31 years of markets, 7,802 trading days, just 90 days out of that whole period of time, just 90 days out of almost 8,000 gave you 95% of all of that year's gains. Just 90 days gave you 95% of all the gains. That's an average of just 3 days per year. So when you get tempted in a year like this to say, I am just done with this market. I can't deal with having an entire 365 days where the market's up and down and up and down and we're making no ground and I can go to any sector and not have a good year. I can go to small and mid cap and not have a good year. I go international and not have a good year. My bonds didn't do much this year for me. LQD, which is a corporate bond ETF, was down 4.8% in price. Now, it paid about 3.5%, so it was down about 1% on the year. There was this, regardless of where you went this year, unless you owned a bunch of Amazon, it was a pretty tough year. Wasn't a terrible year, but it was a frustrating year because we were on this roller coaster that really ultimately led to, call it nowhere. And that's when you give up on the market. And I know this because I've had lots of conversations in the last month with families that I work with and help them invest their funds that they say, well, gosh, it's kind of this flat year. Wouldn't I be better just to put money in a CD and just do 1 or 2% a year? And my answer is no, not over time, not even close. Now, you might have this. It might feel better for a period of time that my money's not going to go up and down, and I can get off this train, I can get off the roller coaster, and I can make 1% a year, 1.5% a year. And it feels great when the market's doing poorly, and you say, well, gosh, I'm just in CDs, and that's really safe and sound, and I feel good about it. The problem comes when we get one of those 3 days, and you watch the news, and you see Dow up 300 points, and we go through a week where we have a lot of outsized gains, or we go through this patch of, wow, this whole year, we have a 2013, perfect example. We had a 30%+ year on the S&P 500. If you're not there for that, you might have missed your returns for the next half a decade. So you get just as frustrated on the other side of the equation where you're sitting in CDs and your money's not doing anything. And you see the market doing well, and you say, I really wish I would have been invested for that. And then what happens? And that's when this emotional cycle, this destructive cycle, really starts to compound, because then you jump into the market. And when you jump into the market, you might very well have jumped in at the wrong time. And then you have this cascade lower, and then you say, see, I shouldn't have gotten in. And I ended up lower, and then you get back out, and then just in time for the market to go back up. And that's this emotional cycle that makes investing so difficult for humans. Humans are prepared. We're wired to escape danger more than anything. We're wired to escape danger, and that in itself leads to this very emotional cycle as investors, and we end up hopping in and out all at the wrong time. And that's exactly what we can't do if we want to make money over time. And that's what this is. This is a perfect year. This is a perfect example of how difficult investing really is. 2015 will long be remembered as a time that frustrates investors, and it leads to poor returns over the next 5 years. So with that, I want to start talking about the future and start talking about what's going to happen in 2016 and what you should be looking for as an investor. Number one on my list, and you can find this whole list of seven themes for 2016 that I'm going to go through right now and over the next in the 10 o'clock hour. But there's seven really important things I think will rule 2016. If you go to my website, wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com, and go to the tools page on that front home page, on the right hand side, there's a picture of an Apple computer, and it's the tools section. If you click on that, it'll take you right to a whole bunch of different retirement tools. There's a retirement calculator. I have on my site the Social Security Optimizer, which is updated for the new Social Security rules. There's information about some net worth tracking software. But then right there in the middle with a green icon, CIA 2016 Outlook themes for the year ahead. And that is in written form what I'm going to go over right now. And the first one, of course, is part of what I've been talking about, is that now is not the time to lose faith in stocks. Again, we had a rough year. We've talked about that. But we've got to take a longer-term view and understand that even if you are retired today, even if you're 65, a 65-year-old retiree should have several decades left to invest. That's enough time for a whole lot of things to happen in several market cycles. And if you think about how far our economy's come just over the last 20 years, the iPhone is the poster child for this, and innovation and profit. It didn't even exist 8 years ago. The iPhone didn't even exist 8 years ago. And now it produces over $150 billion in annual sales for Apple. $150 billion product, not company, just product. So retirees, as we know, you shouldn't have everything in stocks. You don't want to have 100% in equities. That's for somebody who's in their 30s and 40s, not somebody who's 65. But you will be sorry over the next several decades if you don't have some participation in equity markets when they do rebound. So there's a lot more ground to cover here in themes for 2016. Stay tuned for more Money Matters right here on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Morning, welcome back to Money Matters. So the question comes up, does oil, because we know that oil has been it's a big part of the economy. Think of oil in itself as about 7-8% of, as an industry, call it 7-8% of the overall market of the economy. But think of all the other areas that it really touches. So it's not just oil and extraction, it's drilling wells and then all the businesses that support oil, surveys and excavation and chemicals, and then distribution, and then pipelines and refineries, and then asphalt and paving and roofing, and you name it, and it kind of all the way to gas stations. So it's this long chain of industries that are tangential and really important to oil as an industry. And we see the price of oil go down 65%. It's been terrible for oil companies and their earnings. Oil earnings have dropped 65% for companies across the board. And that's a big part of why the market didn't do well in 2015. Oil is a big part of the S&P 500. It's a big part of the economy. It was such a difficult year that it kind of put a lid on markets. And the question then, I think the logical next question is there so much carnage within oil and energy? Does it lead in itself to a recession? Is it bad enough, like housing? Like housing in 2007 and 2008, housing, remember hearing, oh, housing's only 3 or 4% of the overall economy, but it's bigger than that because it tangentially touches so many other areas. So the supply chain around housing that also got hit, and that was a huge part of going into recession. So the question is, does this really lower the collapse in oil and the collapse in commodity prices, does it lead to a recession? And I went back to 1945, and I looked at oil prices spikes and declines relative to where we ended up economically. Did it lead to recession or not? So we went back over the last 70 years to figure that question out. And I have the answer for you coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. And not only do we have the answer to that, but it's one of the really big variables and themes that will rule 2016. So I want you to stay tuned for that. Of course, your calls and questions here, the number in the studio, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. You're listening to Money Matters. Stay tuned. News, weather, traffic straight ahead, then more Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.